The words of God given to us today is Acts chapter 16, verse 6 to 10. It's on page 214 in New Testament. I'll read the script. Paul and his companions travels throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God has called us to preach the gospel to them. Amen. An Indian Christian and social movement protester, Vishal Mangalwadi, is one of the Asians who are respected by the Western Christian leaders. This is because the Christian value in the West has been treated as an ancient artifact, is now slowly gaining attention, refocused by Vishal Mangalwadi. People believe that the Western society was able to build such advanced developed country was because they had advanced science and technology after the Industrial Revolution. However, Vishal Mangalwadi insists that this was possible because the society was built on Christian message. He illustrates his experience about this in his book titled Truth and Transformation. In 1980, Vishal Mangalwadi was invited as a conference speaker by one of the civil organizations in Netherlands and flew to Netherlands for the first time. One afternoon, Dr. Jan Maxey, who invited him, asked him to go to drink some milk, so they walked the country roads to the farm. There were about 100 cows, but there was no person was watching them. It was a farm that could milk the cows with machines without man's labor. It was so different from India, where armed men had to be all over to work in the farm area. He followed Dr. Yan and went into the room where all the milk were displayed, and still there was no one there. Vishal Mangalwadi expected that Dr. Yan would ring the bell to call someone, but Dr. Yan opened one of the milk display counter and took a bottle of milk and poured it into one of the glasses. He dropped few coins in the cupboard, and then he took the changes and put the changes into his pocket. And he started to walk again with milk. This was such a shock for Vishal Mangalwadi from India. If it had been India, then not only all the milk would be taken away, but also the money and changes would be gone in the display counter, and also the cows would be all gone as well. This is because in India, the consumers are not honest. Because of this, the farm owner has to employ a clerk in the milk room. And the wage for the clerk would not be paid by the owner. Instead, the wage would be calculated into the milk price so that the consumer covers the expense. There is no reason for the consumer in India to be honest when the supplier is not honest. The supplier would add water in the milk to make more profit. And for this, to solve the problem, the government might hire a milk inspector to watch over this problem. Then who pays for this inspector's wage? Although it may look like the owner of the farm be paying them, but actually it's the consumer who pays the wage through their tax. There's no need for the inspector to live honestly when the consumer and supplier do not live a honest life. So the milk inspector would ask for bribe to the supplier. If the supplier does not give him bribe to the inspector, then the inspector might come up with various reasons to interfere the sales and business. And then the supplier has to pay bribe to the inspector. Then who pays for the bribe? Although it looks like the supplier pays it, actually the consumer is the one who covers it. Likewise, Indian consumers are responsible for all the expenses that were involved in clerk's wage, water that is added to the milk, inspector's wage, and inspector's bribe. And this makes them not be able to afford the chocolate syrup to be added into the milk. Often, Indian children do not drink milk without chocolate syrup. As a result, Indian children cannot grow up healthy just like the children in Netherlands. Not only this, there are so many poor families in India who cannot pay to buy an ice cream for their children in the weekends because they're busy paying all the expenses that was involved in clerk's wage, water, inspector's wage, and inspector's bribe. Making ice cream with milk is actually creating the value of milk into an ice cream. But this kind of immoral payoff to pay the inspector's bribe and inspector's wage makes the people much more exploited of the expenses. Indians are exploiting their money, which needs to be spent on their children, their health, their education, and their job. Indians consumers are paying high price for their dishonest and immoral deeds of what's going on between the milk farm owners and the inspectors and the clerk. Vishal Mangalwadi was able to gain how such a small country like Netherlands was able to be so strong and provide huge aid to India, which is much bigger country than Netherlands. Majority of people in India are Hindi, and Hindi believes that individuals are God themselves. And contrary, the West is built on the Christian belief, and the Christian believes that we are sinners. Isn't it interesting that for the people who believe that they are sinners, in the West are able to develop advanced society, Whereas the people who believe that they are God in India live in the most corrupted and immoral society. Kishore Mangalwadi's answer to this question is so wise. It's because for the West Christians, God was the absolute authority and provided clear boundary of what needs to be done and what should not be done. But in Hinduism, there is no authority. They believe they are the gods. Therefore, their conduct is always justified. And there cannot be any authority who can tell them what is right or wrong. The Western society is built on words of God. All humans are sinners. And this is a biblical belief that God asked to have responsibility for our conduct. In other words, not to steal other person's belonging was the foundation of the society which established the morality and honesty of that society. This offered trust among the people, which minimized unnecessary expenses and promoted rational economic life, which resulted into a developed Western society. However, how is it in the Western society nowadays? Collapse of family values, loss of ethical standards, increase of couples living together without marriage to avoid any commitment. And confusion of male and female sexual identity, and money worshippers beyond common sense, racial conflicts, and other problems prevail in West. About 10 years ago, there was a big fire in the firecracker factory in Netherlands. From this accident, 950 people got wounded and 22 people died. According to the police announcement, the fire was driven by breaking safety regulation of the factory. The government official was bribed to keep it silent. According to Vishal Mangalwadi, what used to happen in India is also happening in Netherlands as well. It's happening in the West also. Vishal Mangalwadi described the reason as following. He says that it's because the Westerners have rejected the words of God, the spirit of Christianity, which used to be the foundation of Western society. Ten Commandments is only mere historical record which holds no relevance to the present living. The spirit of Christianity is abandoned long ago from the school. And many Westerners are drawn to Eastern mystic religions. The Eastern belief emphasizes that the human beings are God themselves. For the Westerners today, there's no authority who holds the boundary. As a result, they live lives to fulfill their unlimited desire and greed. That's why Vishal Mangalwadi warns the West society that unless the society restores honesty and righteousness with the Christian spirit of God, the society will return to the times when it was so corrupted, even before the times of Martin Luther and John Wesley. And eventually, the society has to pay high price for this. This is also a significant warning for us as we still live in this world of corruption and dishonesty. God, whom we believe in, does not just go along with whatever we do. He's different from any of those small shaman gods who just enjoys shaman rituals. He has created us, and he specifically noted us not to do what not to do. He has created Adam and told him that he may eat all other fruits but the fruit of knowledge. He warned Adam that if Adam consumes this fruit of knowledge, then he would die. But Adam is seduced by the Satan that if he consumes the fruit of knowledge, he would become like God. He breaks the rule. The fruit of knowledge is what God has banned for the human beings, and human beings following his words represents that we hold righteous relationship with God. This is symbolic representation of our faith for God. Joseph was the 11th son of Jacob, and he was specially liked among the sons. And Joseph took this preference for granted up until he was 17 years old. When his brothers worked in the field, Joseph played around in light colored clothes, and he never took this as an exception. He took this as his own power. He also believed that it was his duty to tell on the misconduct of his brothers to the father. God's plan to build him into a new person, he had him sold to Egypt by his brothers out of jealousy. Joseph received unconditional love from his father, but now became the servant of Egypt, Pharaoh's captain of guard, Potiphar, one day. He could not live the way he used to live, but he lived fully up to his capacity with good work in faith for Potiphar. Potiphar had pity on him and made him the secretary of his household, and allowed him to take care of all his household. Joseph was grateful for this hospitality and worked hard. However, Potiphar's wife started to seduce Joseph. Joseph says in Genesis chapter 39, verse 9, "My master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" The owner Potiphar allowed all things in the house except one thing, and that was his wife. In other words, his wife was the fruit of knowledge that was told not to consume by God. When God told human beings not to consume that fruit of knowledge, it was something that was not permitted and allowed to do. And keeping this compliance symbolizes the right relationship with God. For Joseph, this command was not just that of the Potiphar, but also from the God as well. So in other words, Joseph did not take this order from his owner, only because it was what owner commanded, but also it was because what God has commanded as well. That's why he told Joseph he cannot sin against God. But the wife felt very strong rejection and was very persistent with seduction. Joseph rejected with strength. He was committed not to sin against Potiphar and God and lose his morality and honesty before God. As a result, Joseph was sent to jail because of wife's slander in anger. This result seems very vain considering that the imprisonment was the result for keeping morality and honesty. But it wasn't so. God has put him to become the prime minister of Egypt, who stood strong with pursue morality and righteousness through those difficult times for God. God has put him forward to save that period of time and to pursue God's providence. If Joseph had accepted that wife's addiction because no one was watching him, what would have happened? Once that desire has been fulfilled, Joseph would be killed by Potiphar and no longer be used as God's channel and never had become the prime minister of Egypt. People, even Christians who believe in God, say that when you live honest and righteous life, we live like a loser. That's because they believe that this world is everything here. This is such a limited, non-biblical thinking. God is not bound to this world. God is eternal and holy and honest, just as stated in the Psalm chapter 19, verse 8. Therefore, God uses people who live with morality and honesty and uses them for his eternal channel and his providence. Faith is what makes the believer to do what is told to do and not do what is told not to do. Let's look at today's scripture, verse 6-9. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. Paul's group who left Lystra planned to revisit the places they visited in the first mission trip and then move on to the western region of Asia, where it is Turkey today. However, the Holy Spirit did not permit them to do so. So Paul's group changed the plan to cross Phrygia and Galatia to go to eastern region of Mysia called Bithynia, which was northwest of Turkey. However, this time, the Spirit of Jesus did not permit. For both plans, their intention was not to commit anything immoral conduct such as eating the fruit of knowledge by the seduction of Satan, nor fall into inappropriate relationship with women. Their plan was for God's work and to spread God's words. Then one may think, if the intention is so good, then Paul could pursue with his plan because the purpose is good and the purpose is to do God's work. But for Paul, he complied with God's message that he should not pursue his plan, but listen to God's message. Paul realized this was not something for God had planned and gave up his own plan and went down to Troas. This tells how Paul was so compliant to God. Not only that, the moment Paul encountered the vision of Macedonia person in Troas, he understood that God wanted him to cross the ocean to go over Europe and spread God's word there. As soon as he saw this vision, he put into the action. This means that he carries out what he is told of, no matter what the circumstances are. In other words, Paul had honesty, righteousness for God's work, and had morality as well. He lived a life of poor evangelist and lived a very difficult life until he died. He ended his life by being hanged. But Paul did not live dishonestly nor immorally to eat better, sleep better, or clothe better, or to avoid any hardship. He did what God told him to do, and he did not do what he was not asked to do, although it was for good intention. He was a true Christian. And because of this, and because of Paul, Roman history begins. When Roman Empire accepted Christianity, the number of Christians were very small. Christians did not hold any power nor authority in Roman Empire. Most of the Christians were very poor and from low social class. Despite this fact, Roman Empire, which was built because of the Christians' morality and honesty, God used them as a channel to actualize this history. However, when the Roman Empire lost their morality and honesty, they were corrupted internally first before any external attack was given. They had to pay high price for their corruption and immorality. Morality is what holds a society together. And this is the truth and lesson. Even in God's words, in Bible, and also in human history as well. Anything is possible in the places where there is no God's word. God's word holds absolute standard, and without this, human beings can justify whatever they wish to do. For some time, money has become the absolute value in our society, and we have lost our honesty and morality over money. Because before the power of money, human immorality, corruption prevail in all level of social class, so as sexual misbehavior, impudence, and these problems exceeded its limit. If we keep living like this, then our society will soon collapse in near future, internally, before any external attack comes. Human dishonest and immorality calls for high price. We did not gain salvation because we lived honest and moral life. Despite the fact that we lived dishonest and immoral life, God has pity on us and He saved us. And if we believe in that God's salvation that God granted by God, then we should be living honest and moral life. Let's start restoring honesty and morality and live by God's standard. There is no better asset for our future generation who are in our hands than morality and righteousness. Faith that can comply to God's word by doing what God has told us to do and not do what He told us not to do is also a valuable asset for our future generation. Faith is complying to His words. God uses the most honest, pure, and moral person for His channel and for His providence. And we hold our victory not in this world, but in our eternal life. You have created the world by truthful and holy words. And faith begins with truthfulness and morality. And it is God's way to pay high price for going against what is moral and what is dishonest. Today's world treats money and desire as utmost value. For money, long-term friends and blood-related brothers become enemies. Corruption and dishonest prevail in various social levels and groups. Moral insensitivity and sexual disorder has exceeded its boundary. If these continue to grow and continue this way, then our society will pay high cost and collapse and self-destruction. We confess that we believe in you. We have played along with these social changes as passive person. Please forgive us. Make us remember that when we make our society dishonest and immoral, it doesn't only involve us, but we involve our children as next generation to live in such world of dishonesty and untruthfulness. It is also an act of crime. Please make us strong enough to stop the urge and temptation and not consume the fruit of knowledge. Make us follow your words just as Joseph and Paul have done, and stay away from those you didn't permit us to do, and stay honest and moral to restore our everyday. By restoring our lives, please rebuild our society with more truthfulness and honesty. The true victory is not for this world, but in eternity. Until our breath ceases to come at our nose tip, make us live as honest and moral Christian every day. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.